The ordinary building can be, wheat crop can be. Bob's observation that the things that you cannot replace belonging in fire are the things that should be the most reprehensible. That should be class one arson.
Human life.
Human life, right, but I'm to be your property, in
yeah.
a sense. That you have certain types of property, like a capitol building here, or this would be true of many public buildings, of course. It's not the value of the property itself, it's the records and so on that are involved in that, that are indispensable to the carrying on of public business. Let's not get into that. Oh, no, maybe there's some weeds.
We take another recess. Robbery, Mr. Pallette.
Eventually.
All right.
Yeah,
now,
necessarily.
You and Mr. Spalding were working during the recess, and I'm assuming that you came up with an answer, did you?
I was working on my sandwich.
Let's do it.
Judge Rodman didn't read that.
Did Judge Rodman and Representative Elder get that draft done during the recess?
He still stands on his original, don't you, Judge?
Well, of course, it's a philosophical matter. I mean, it is the question of just what kind of wording we want here to do, which conduct are we going to put into these categories. And as I understand what we're saying, I would still use the language that I originally suggested.
Now, contemporaneous with that suggestion, did you suggest that we delete subsection 1 of section 1?
In its well, either delete that, we can delete that, and in section 4 and in section 5, where we've got the word building, add customarily occupied by persons, customarily occupied by people, something of this sort. Or put a definition up in 1 in place of the present definition, which says a building as used in this section is a structure, boat, airplane, vessel, vehicle, rather, customarily occupied by people.
And maybe departure for purposes of policy from adapted for overnight accommodation to customarily occupied by, is that correct?
Yes.
All right. This would be a departure, Don, from the model from Michigan and New York.
Well, to some extent, yes.
And don't we also...
But it's not any great departure, really. It's just that we employ that definition a little differently in our sanctions on the degrees of function and the other codes do.
Same time, it seems to me we're when we do this, aren't we limiting this to an act that causes bodily injury to another person? And don't we want to expand that to include might have caused bodily injury?
Well, I don't know.
Section 4.
No, I'm talking about section 5.
Section 4. Yeah, we've got it in section 4.
Oh.
And they have it. Let me
I see.
Employ something here that we've done in the past, we've got hung up, and that is go to the other sections first. We haven't talked about section 2, negligent burning. Now this was revised from the first draft, let's see if we can't get our teeth into that. And get through sections 2 and 3, and then backtrack about this. So, you want to do that, or?
In section, are we going to do that?
I think so, yeah.
In section 2, subdivision 2, better to eliminate the word accidentally.
Could I comment on that?
Yes.
No. subsection 2 and delete intentionally in subsection 1. Well, we deleted intentionally in subsection 1. And that language comes from ORS 164.704.3 is where it is. And the reason this was brought about is that there was some question as to whether or not our draft of reckless burning would cover the kind of negligent conduct that's prohibited under the present statute. And this was intended to pick up that section that subcommittee seemed to feel was important. That accidentally starting a fire on land of another, failing to make every reasonable effort to. Although that's been changed a little bit. It's basically the same. 164.070.3 reads, accidentally setting fire on one's own land or the land of another, allowing it to escape from control without extinguishing it or using every possible effort so to do. That's a misdemeanor. Now, I'm doing fires on land. Now, we previously had permitting fire to escape from land in its custody or control. We had that in our first draft. But the portion of sub 3 relating to accidentally setting fire on somebody else's land was not covered. And I've substituted the use of reasonable effort rather than possible, every possible effort, because there's an Oregon case that interpreted that language as meaning every reasonable effort. So I thought, well, if that's the case, there's no point in using possible, and if it's going to be interpreted as being reasonable, that's what we should use. So that's the reason that Section 2, negligent burning, has been inserted in here.
Yeah, well, my thought, let me make the word accidentally, if a guy starts a fire on land of another, the state shouldn't have to prove that it was accidentally done.
Well, if he starts fire on land of another, then that's reckless burning, not
not one.
Negligent.
Originally, we had, in the first draft, we only had reckless burning and then arson in the first and second degrees, and what you did for all intents and purposes was you eliminated that 164.070. Now, do you agree with sub 1 of section 2? Before we get to sub 2, the person commits a crime of negligent burning if he negligently damages property of another by permitting fire to escape from land in his custody or control.
What does that mean? That permitting fire to escape from land in his custody implies that in itself proves negligence.
That's what I'm wondering about.
You mean the mere fact it gets away at a...
In other words, otherwise, I think we should say it's
strict liability, right?
Yeah, a person commits a crime of negligent burning if he negligently.
He damages property of another by one.
By negligently permitting it to escape, yeah. In other words, by failing to use every reasonable effort to keep it from escaping.
Thank you. Yeah, I agree.
Well, I think what we're saying in the draft here, and I think what the present code says, is that you've got a high degree of responsibility whenever you have a fire on your own land. And if that fire gets away from you and damages somebody else's property,
But are you getting back to the same thing as the court said in that case where they said every possible effort is unconstitutional because it requires a person to do the unreasonable? A fire might escape from my land no matter what I did.
Right.
Right.
But if you use every reasonable effort to put it out, and it still escapes, should you be prosecuted criminally?
Yeah, but you're talking about subsection 2 now.
No.
A person commits a crime of negligent burning if he negligently damages property of another by the risk of that, it seems to me, the wording of it assumes that the escape is negligent.
Suppose Senator Burns was over to burn off the Stubblefield, and he's pretty well equipped. Plow on his tractor, plow a fire break, and then the fire trucks get away, and he plows and plows until his tractor burns up, and then he gets onto his neighbor's property. He should still be guilty of negligent burning under section 1, sub 1, even though he's made, he's gone to the reasonable effort to burn up a $3,000 tractor.
The case that I was referring to is Sullivan versus Mountain State Fire. And that's 139 Oregon 282.
What page? On the draft.
Well, in your first draft on page 13 of the commentary, we talk about 16470 and cite some of the cases that have construed that statute. And on page 14, part of the holding of that case stated, it seems clear that the legislature, by the use of the single word possible, did not intend to demand that those subject to the action do things that are neither reasonable nor practical. It is our opinion that the words every possible effort, in fact, everything that is practical and reasonable, but no more. And then the court went on to say, one of these statements was blurred on 209 or 863, the court said, as soon as the existence of the fire came to his knowledge, each of the defendants was required to make every reasonable effort to extinguish the fire. So those cases in mind, and I used the language I did. But
you mean in the second draft?
Yeah.
Well, that's as to sub 2, right?
Right.
But you don't meet Bruce's objection as to sub 1.
I'm making a new law here.
Except, the thing that bothered me, why I argued so strongly for us to retain those provisions of 070, was that the provisions of 164.070 are tied into the double damages section of chapter 477 of the code. So we're not only changing the criminal law by omitting this, we're changing the civil law and a very, very significant part of the civil law. Like the Mountain States Power Company, where they lit a fire escape from a high power line, a railroad case, if you will.
Don't you think section 2, though, in this draft number 2 covers it?
Yeah, I think so.
You mean subsection 2, yeah.
Now, in the response to...
I'm all for the way it is.
Well, we're not making new law here, I don't think. Under sub 1, was that your question?
Yes.
Well, why wouldn't it be better, though, to move that word negligently out of where it is and put it down just before the word permitting? That would take
there,
care of my suggestion.
Then I think we're getting some.
Would you say, if he damages property of another by
negligently permitting fire to escape from land in his custody or control?
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah, if he doesn't get a brain permit, maybe this lets the thing get out of control. That's what we're trying to say. But gee, but the way that is there, I couldn't buy it.
Well, of course, the got to keep in mind, I think, that the use of negligently, just like the use of recklessly, this is a talk about culpability here.
Yeah. Are you saying you need that word negligently up there in the statute to apply to subsection 2? I don't think you do. Because the negligence is saying we use every reasonable effort in subsection 2.
What harm is there in putting negligently in subsection 1 just ahead of permitting?
Permits. And I think it's okay because that's the way it is at present. And we have a motion.
Mr. Spahn moves in a second.
Yeah, I'm going to check the word negligently. Introductory clause down to just before the word permitting in subsection 1 of section 2.
Okay, it's been motion made and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Yeah. How about sub 2? A person commits the crime of negligent burning if he damages property of another by accidentally starting a fire on land of another and failing to make every reasonable effort to put out or control the fire. Any discussion with respect to that?
Well, when does he have to start doing that? When he learns it's on land of another, or when it gets out of control, or he would do it by accidentally starting fire on land of another.
Are you saying that accidentally starting a fire which reaches land of another?
Well, you see, it says accidentally starting fire on land of another.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's negligent burning.
How about that?
I assume any time you burn somebody else's land negligently, that is the offense.
Yeah. Well, you see, what you're saying, the guy would get loose if he started at 1 foot from his own land and it moved over across the fence.
Yeah,
that would then be together.
You're going to talk about things in subsection 1.
Well, but the other, now that's covered under subsection 1.
So, what this thing is, a guy starts that fire, he throws a cigarette out of his car and it lands on the side of the road and he sees it start a fire and drives off. He'd have a defense on the thing if he stopped and stamped on it until his shoes burned up and then got in his car and drove off. Didn't have any other tools available. That'd be it.
The question whether he made every reasonable effort.
Yeah, I mean, presuming the jury would believe that's all the reasonable efforts he can make. Had to save his own life. Right?
Well, this is really no different from the language that's employed now in the statutes. And that's been construed by the court to mean that, the existence of the fire had become to the knowledge.
Yeah, I was going to ask if that ought to be added to it. I don't use every reasonable effort to put out or control of fire once the fire comes to his knowledge. It should have come to his knowledge.
Whether he knows that it's on the land of another. I assume this would include the person who wants to burn some slashing and he mistakenly crosses the boundary line and then burns somebody else's slashing. Other property, whatever it may be. And he doesn't know this at the time he starts the fire, but sometime, in order to make a crime, I think, someplace, in order to compel him to start putting it out, he's got to learn that this is not on his land.
Yeah, well, how about saying accidentally or inadvertently starting a fire on the land of another, and trying to make every reasonable effort to put out or control the fire after the existence and location of the fire comes to his knowledge or should have come to his knowledge? Doesn't sound very pretty.
Doesn't sound very pretty, Vicar.
You think inadvertently helps today?
I think then we get into a question of definition.
I don't really see the man a great deal, but.
Well, what I was thinking about was Judge Sloan's example of where the fire wasn't accidentally started, but the inadvertence was that he didn't know where his land was.
Well, that'd be an accident too.
Well, no, that wouldn't be an
accident. The fire on the land of another was part of the accident, wouldn't it?
He didn't accidentally start it. He intended to start it.
But
it turned out to be on his neighbor's
An accident that it was on his neighbor's property.
Well, yeah, I don't know if that's an accident. That might be subject of a lawsuit.
Well, people are logged on somebody else's property.
Don't think we're right.
They use the word inadvertently in that trespass statute, and that's where I thought of.
Besides, if he starts it on his own land and then gets over to his neighbors, isn't he going to be covered under sub-1 anyway?
Yeah, but that's not what Sloan's suggestion. His example is where a guy doesn't know where his land ends. He doesn't know where the line is. He thinks he knows, but he doesn't, and he intentionally starts thinking it's on his own land. But by inadvertence, it isn't on his own land.
When does the duty to start putting it out occur?
When he becomes aware of it.
That's what the court has said. But if that's been judicially decided, then there would probably be no need to.
Well, that's what I thought. I mean, there are several cases that say that there's no duty until they find out about it.
Yeah, but that force the statute says once it comes to his knowledge.
No, that's it. But we were talking about 164070, which is under
Well,
it says that. In a subsection we've omitted here. And I think it's significant that, let me read 070 as it presently is. One, unlawfully setting on fire or causing to be set on fire any grass, grain, stubble, or other material being or growing on any land within the state. Two, willfully or negligently allowing fire to escape from one's own land or land of which one is in possession or control. Now that's essentially one part. Three, accidentally setting any fire on one's own land or the land of another and allowing it to escape from control without extinguishing it or using every possible effort to do so. Now that's essentially two with a couple of very significant omissions. Let me read it again. Accidentally setting any fire on one's own land or the land of another and allowing it to escape from control without extinguishing it or using every possible effort to do so.
We've got that one and two.
And then four, having knowledge of the fire burning on one's own land or land of which one is in possession or control and failing or neglecting to make every possible effort to extinguish the same, regardless of whether or not one is responsible for the starting or existence thereof. So this business about having knowledge is in sub 4, which we haven't.
That's a separate subsection.
Right. Sub 4, and that thing makes it the duty of every citizen to fight every fire he sees.
No, that is every fire on land that he has under his control.
But the only thing the subcommittee directed to go into this draft was sub 3. That's why it's, those others were not concerted in there. Because after the discussion of the last week, the motion was to insert sub 3. That was my understanding. That was all that was intended to go in there, and then the rest of it would be covered either under reckless burning or under sub 1. That permitting fire to escape would include the situation, whether it was an accidental fire or an intentional fire, if you permitted it to escape in a negligent fashion.
Well, I think it's covered.
But by omitting sub 1, which proscribes setting a grass fire, by omitting that, do we reach the situation of the deliberate setting of a grass fire in our preliminary draft? Grass fire where we don't in peril of building, in peril of person, or forest land.
Where we don't negligently start.
Where we don't negligently or recklessly start.
Well, then what you're really saying that
we don't
got to do is accidentally from the start of number 2, didn't
we? but number two, it's limited to the fire that started on our
starting
on land of another, not on our own.
Well, number two is accidental.
Mm-hmm.
And
let's eliminate accidental.
If he damages property of another by
starting a fire, land here of another, that is making every reasonable effort to go by.
Well, as we mentioned last time, there are going to be some types of fires that may be intentional fires that will not come under arson, will come under criminal mischief.
I think, Jeremiah, I really think that we ought to try to cover as many as we can under arson.
I think we're going to be in trouble if I were a lawyer defending some guy. Well, I think I'd argue like crazy that if they didn't say it was arson someplace, you can't prosecute it.
I think so. That's the way I can.
Even though the conduct would be such that it would fall within the definition of another crime, if every material element of the crime of the criminal mischief were met by this act, even though it is damage done by fire, do you think you'd have a problem?
I don't think it is.
On what grounds would you have a problem?
So, well,
that he could complain that he's being prosecuted for a lesser crime of criminal mischief rather than the more serious crime of arson. How's the defendant? How are his rights?
All right. Criminal mischief in the third degree occurs when a person with intent to cause substantial inconvenience to the owner or to another person, and having no right or reasonable ground to believe that he has a right, tampers or interferes with the property of another.
That's our tampering.
All right, and second degree criminal mischief is that if you violate that, and as a result you damage property in the amount of $100, or you, without having any right to do so, intentionally damage property of another. Maybe under what I just said, setting a grass fire attaches, but it doesn't under the criminal tampering.
Oh no, I don't know.
Setting that grass fire might not cause anybody any substantial inconvenience.
Oh no, and of course that section 3 there of our criminal mischief was not intended to include any damage. That was put in there because we had decided that we wanted to incorporate criminal tampering along with the criminal mischief type or malicious mischief. But the intentional damage of property of another by fire could be criminal mischief under one of the other sections.
I get back to what you answered me, I think, at recess time, Don, but I forgot what you said. It seems to me that you cover everything in section 2 in both subsections by saying a person commits the crime of negligent burning if he damages property of another by negligently starting a fire and failing to make every reasonable effort to put out or control the fire.
By negligently starting a fire?
No. You put negligently preventing a negligent and then strike accidentally with negligent.
Do that, but you're limiting his duties only in the situations where he has started the fire. And I don't think that's what the present statute says as far as the duty of this defendant. Because
right.
It says willfully or negligently allowing fire to escape from one's own land or land of which one is in possession or control. In other words,
that's
saying
remember that what you told me before.
What do you have to do? Replay.
So I use permitting to cover the situation in which he may have started the fire, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But if he permitted it to escape from his land, then he would be liable.
But don't you agree it has to be negatively permitted?
You won't quite agree with it.
Otherwise, I'm a guarantor.
Well, I don't have any objection with sub one as amended. I happen to think that probably sub two should conform to the language of sub three of 164.070, and it should read accidentally starting a fire. Actually starting a fire on one's own land or the land of another. So,
now
and allowing and failing to make every reasonable effort.
Now, the reason I omitted that part about accidentally starting a fire on one's own land is that I felt it was covered under sub 1. If he permits the fire to escape, it doesn't matter whether he started the fire or somebody else started the fire. He permits it to escape into his land. So I felt that would be redundant to say it again.
Yeah. All right. And I don't have any objection with two as it is. Accidentally starting a fire on land of another and failing to make every reasonable effort to put out or control the fire.
I use put out instead of extinguish.
Actually, I think extinguish is better. But I think it would be simple to insert the equivalent of sub 1 here, which says unlawfully setting on fire any grass, grain, stubble, or other material being thrown in any state.
Mm-hmm.
Except that isn't really negligent burning. That's intentional burning.
And when you're talking about unlawfully setting on fire now, that seems to me to raise a lot of questions there. Is it unlawful because he didn't get a permit to start the fire when he should have? He didn't get a burning permit?
Or he burned on a day when he wouldn't give out his permit?
And a guy that didn't get a permit would be guilty of a crime.
And those permit situations are covered elsewhere in the code. It violates equal protection if there's not a reasonable classification, isn't
Well, what is a reasonable classification when you can put everything in within criminal mischief section? I don't know. I have to apologize. This has been a bad day for me. I wish I could contribute more. I do think this, that as to Section 2 and as to calling it negligent burning, it's okay as far as I'm concerned, as amended.
Section 2?
Yeah.
No, that would be no change in sub 2?
Yeah,
eventually. I still like leave out, actually.
Any damage to property of another by starting a fire on land of another and failing to make every reasonable effort. All right.
So maybe whether it's an accidental starting or.
All right. If you want to make a motion after that.
Well, and why does it have to be on land of another?
Well, that's what I guess.
Well, because land of his own is already covered under some
one. Yeah, but it's covered for the purpose of permitting it. Negligently permitting it.
Permitting it to escape.
Well, the same thing altogether.
Well, I think otherwise you're going to be making it criminal.
No,
you're going to be making it criminal to start a fire.
No, there's a difference. First instance, you're making it a crime if he negligently permits a fire that somebody else started to escape, but you're putting greater responsibility on him.
Because he's the owner and in control.
But you're putting greater responsibility on him under sub 2 if he starts the fire. Right?
Yeah, wherever it is, on his land or anybody else's land.
Right.
He fails to make every reasonable effort to put it out. Or control.
And Mr. Spaulding would have meant number 2 by removing accidentally and removing on land of another.
Yeah.
I'm second.
Would you say starting a fire
in grass or stubble or
anything? On one's own land or the land of another? Or would you just say starting a fire and failing to make every reasonable effort?
You can go to put it up, well, both of them say the same thing in my opinion.
Which would be better?
It would be cleaner just to say starting a fire. Period.
Well, now, to a person who can't read very well, it might be well to say on one's own land or land of another. It makes it clear what we're talking about.
What's wrong with starting a fire on your own land?
Well, because you might have your 68 Toronado out there in the middle of my stubble field. And I might say, well, this is a good way to wipe Elder out. And
I think an answer to you've forgotten it up here in the beginning is the damage is property of another. Yeah, they'd have to prove that, the damage is property of another before
you
can kill it.
You go pheasant hunting on his place without asking permission. He says, I'll get him permission. He starts a fire all the way around your car.
And that would be an element in both of them. It would have to damage property of another. And subsection 2, by starting a fire on your own land or anybody else's land and failing to control it. Or making reasonable effort.
Okay. It's been a motion made and seconded to amend sub 2 of section 2 by deleting accidentally and inserting some language so that section will read, starting a fire on one's own land or the land of another and failing to make every reasonable effort to put out,
to extinguish or
control the fire. Is there any further discussion?
Let me read this once more.
Time not to get second guessed all these times. Why you don't know what it feels like to get this paper.
Well, certainly changing 164.07.03 by doing that. By taking accidentally out of there.
Well, the reason for taking accidentally out of there came from the suggestion that a guy might intentionally burn his stubble on his own land. That would be all right. But if he lets it go so that it damages property of another and he didn't use every reasonable effort to control it before it did, then he's guilty.
Well, wouldn't he be guilty under sub-1 by negligently permitting fire to escape from his land?
Well, if the state's on his land burns up that farm out of belongs to the pheasant hunter.
Yeah, that's true.
You don't, by accidentally and by eliminating one's own land, you don't cover the situation where you intentionally burn your own stubble field or your own horse pasture to burn down the trespasser's can or the pheasant hunter's car or whatever.
Yeah, but that's not what 164 was directed at. There was crimes relating to fires on land. They're not.
We got new social problems.
It's not concerned with burning up somebody's automobile that day in a negligent manner.
Fire on land.
There's nothing in that statute now that talks about negligent damage to somebody's personal property, which is what you're putting into this with that amendment.
Well, it isn't covered presently in the draft, though, is it?
Negligent burning of personal property? No.
Well, on this present one, you don't have to cause any damage to anybody else's property at all. Just let it escape. And you go to jail. And we have that in certain times that
of course, it's, I think that would be implicit, though, in this, that if it escapes,
it's a nuisance. It's a public nuisance.
You're trying to damage something if it escapes, isn't it?
Yeah. Accidentally setting any fire on one's own land or the land of another and allowing it to escape from control. Period. And that period without extinguishing or using every effort to do so. It doesn't require damage to property because it has created a public nuisance by being a wildfire, even though it might never damage property. Maybe that's a good concept.
But we put sub 2 in here as a result of the last meeting because you felt accidentally it was not covered. The accidental type of fire.
It is. If you take it out, it's still
covered. Isn't it?
Now, but you're also, by taking it out, you're impliedly saying that the intentional starting of a fire is negligent burning. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we are.
You're saying starting a fire on land of another is negligent burning. I don't think you want to say that.
Well, maybe what we ought to do.
Yeah.
Maybe what we ought to do is title this section burning on land. They say a person commits a crime under this section if he damages property of another by one, negligently permitting fire to escape from land in his custody or control, or two, starting a fire on one's own land or the land of another and failing to make every reasonable effort to extinguish or control the fire, and three, recklessly incorporate the reckless brain. Negligent, in essence, you have a proscription against negligent burning or negligent damage, intentional damage, and reckless damage. There's one section here with three subsections. Going back.
Substantially what we started out with.
Yeah, but
the reckless part.
Well, yeah. But it didn't have the benefit of community minds. What about that?
Yeah, we've actually had things and change it as we have.
Say leave action in the end.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a suggestion that we leave it
out. Sure.
Read your suggestion again.
Well, my suggestion was that possibly we consider calling subsection 2 fires on land or something to that effect. Say a person commits a crime under this section. If he damages the property of another by one, negligently permitting fire to escape from land in his custody or control, or two, starting a fire on one's own land or the land of another, and failing to make every reasonable effort to extinguish or control the fire, or three, recklessly, in context of three, if he damages property of another by reckless burning.
Mm-hmm. Forget about that explosion business.
Mm-hmm.
Should the state be required to prove damage to property of another? Allowing a fire, recklessly allowing a fire to escape and go wild, creates a deal of a public nuisance and puts fear in the hearts of every citizen, whether it does any damage to property of another or not. It's pretty hard to burn without doing that.
As long as you consider that the government, the federal and the state governments are people, they're going to do some damage.
I have no
doubt that.
Cover the kind of situation where there was an accident that started in 164 we said no, which we've done, which specifically limits that to accidentally setting a fire. And all it did, it says setting a fire on one's own land. But I submit that accidentally setting a fire on one's own land would be covered under sub 1 of this draft. If he permits the fire to escape, if he negligently permits the fire to escape in his land, that would include the situation where the fire may have been accidental or it may have been intentional. But I think that where you say that if he intentionally sets it on his own land and then negligently permits it to escape and damages property of another, okay, that's negligent burning. But then to change the meaning here by taking out accidentally and saying that we're going to make it negligent burning or something else, some lesser crime, to start a fire on land of another and then fail to make every reasonable effort to put out a controlled fire, I think that we're getting beyond what we intended to do, because I think the intentional starting of a fire on land of another is already covered.
Well, are you saying that by deleting the accidental and making this intentional, you might be running head-on into a second-degree arson situation where there's an ambiguity, where there'd be an ambiguity between this and second-degree situation?
I think you might be running head-on against your criminal history. Where the defendant, say, intentionally starts a fire. If he intentionally starts a fire, that in itself, if damages property of another, would be criminal mischief in the second degree. If he intentionally damaged property of another. But then you'd be saying, well, it's negligent burning or some other type of arson crime if he intentionally starts a fire and then fails to make every effort to put it out.
Well, Justice Sloan,
what do you want to say? My objection.
What do you think, from a constitutional standpoint, about saying that the intentional damage of property by fire could be covered by criminal mischief? Is there any constitutional problem that either of you see?
Well, there certainly is a constitutional problem. How serious it is, I wouldn't want to say, but aside from that, it seems to me like, as I mentioned here the other day, Wednesday, we were considering these things, there's hardly a month goes by that we don't get a case involving this question where the district attorney has a choice of one or two or three crimes to charge him. As long as you're at it, there ought to be some way of eliminating that. And I would think under this criminal mischief, for instance, that I don't know enough about drafting to know how you do it, but this one that says to be criminal mischief to damage property of another to extend beyond $1,000, intentionally to damage property of the other, that should specifically exclude arson, section, whatever this section will be. Or this section should specifically exclude that, so that you don't have this conflict. Whether that's feasible drafting or not, I don't know. I don't know enough about drafting. But there ought to be some provision in that criminal mischief to indicate that it would mean the kind of conduct that is not covered by arson or some other thing. I assume, for instance, that if I drive my car down the street and deliberately run into your front glass window, or something of that kind, this would be criminal mischief.
Yeah.
It's not covered by some other kind of statute, but if it's within the arson statute, then someplace in the statutes it should say so.
Well, we may be a minority too of those present, but my feeling is that if we're going to do a job, we've got to simplify this as much as we can, and by saying that, but we intend this to be covered in this other section, we're admitting the existence of a hole that is going to be left up to some court sometime to construe, and they're not legislating, we are. Maybe I'm wrong. I agree with that.
I don't agree with that. I think the bad business is just to create a catch-all statute, really, and put a dollar limit on it, say that anybody really does anything isn't covered by anything else that costs some third party $1,000 is guilty of criminal mischief.
That wasn't our purpose in the criminal mischief statutes. Those drafts were intended to cover existing law. Laws that are on the books now. Over and above arson, those were intended to cover two things: the tampering type of statutes, where you interference and meddling with property of another, or what is covered under malicious destruction of personal property in both not catch-alls, but specific statutory crimes that we were attempting to pick up in new drafts. Just combining the two things under one, to simplify it, to combine the two under one thing called criminal mischief.
So I kind of hate to then take what really is a third or specific category of crime and throw it into that.
We didn't have any contemplation at the time we labored on criminal mischief that we were going to include arson-type crimes in it.
And we discussed that whether or not certain types of burning could be criminal mischief. My recollection is that we decided it could be.
I still don't think that under negligent burning there's any point in requiring proof that it damaged the property or not.
I mean, you'd allow it to apply to, you'd allow it to be a crime if you just damaged your own property?
Damage no property. You allow fire to get away and become a public nuisance.
Well, it would damage, though, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would, but in your criminal mischief statute, you're talking about damaging property. Here you're talking about failure to control a fire, period.
In other words, you don't want to make one have proof damage.
Yeah, and it doesn't add anything to this. I agree with you. It's an every element time having a fire without doing damage to property, but that's not an important element in it. You've covered it all when you say negligent burning, that a person commits the crime of negligent burning by negligently permitting a fire to escape, remain in his custody or control, or accidentally starting a fire on his land or anybody else's land, and failing to make every reasonable effort to control it.
Now, did you mean what you just said, that you put accidentally back in?
No, I didn't mean that.
I wonder if you changed your motion.
Well, the thought I was trying to put over was something different.
I just
eliminating damage to property because we're talking about...
we're talking about a nuisance more than a...
Yeah. More than protecting a particular property, we're talking about the great danger in fire, and it's gotten away whether it damages property or whether it doesn't. There's the public wrong in this thing.
Okay, but it seems to me that there would be an inconsistency there, because all through here, when we're talking about the intentional, bona fide arson, we're requiring damage.
Well, now we're talking about negligent arson here, not...
Well, yeah, we're talking about negligent, but are we going to say for an intentional arson that it has to be damaged, but for a negligent fire, it's going to be a crime without damage?
I would think, no, it does seem consistent to me. It's just a lesser degree of it. When you get to damaging property, then it's more serious, or hurting people. But there is an evil, and you just let it get away without being under control.
It seems to me there's an even greater evil if you do it intentionally.
Sure. That's where you get to second degree.
You get second degree.
Well, you get second degree, you have to have bodily injury or a forest man, don't you? danger about it.
Under that concept, wouldn't you have, Bruce, the almost any time a person's house catches on fire, not every time maybe, but many times there is some form of negligence involved. And any time a house sets on fire within a city, at least, there's a threat to other person's property.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes a public nuisance. Fires happen on the part of the fire department, so on, protect other people's property and so on. That would make many of these people who get a fire started in their house guilty of a crime.
I don't think so, Garden, because it's negligently permitting it to escape, not negligence in the yard that we're talking about.
Right, right. Or to lose control of it.
Yeah, by negligence. Loss of control. When he calls the fire department and turns it over to him, any jury would say that's a reasonable thing to do, I would say.
Well, what if he doesn't call the fire department? He tries to put it out himself.
If he's a damn fool, he's guilty of negligent burning if he thinks he can do better than the fire department.
Decisions there. You're 100 yards from the telephone, you think you might get it out, and then you can't.
Well, that's up to the jury to decide whether.
Yeah, I suppose that's right.
Under the circumstances, if it was just a little cigarette fire, and he didn't know that there was gasoline in the cigarette, why do you think that he'd stamp it? Get out, the jury would say. But if he knew it was about to blow up a gas tank, but he might do something different.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is that the concept of damage to property here, it doesn't seem to fit in my way of thinking. The evil is letting it get away without using reasonable effort to stop from getting away.
Let's refer it to the Committee on Crimes Against the Person.
How about referring it to the Committee on Judicial Administration? I really think this, and probably it's my fault, but it seems like we're hopelessly hung up today. Everything we get needs to be hung up on.
This is a wrong day, right?
Well,
we spent 2 hours on this section, this particular section, I think, last time.
We did.
It's been a bad combination.
And
all the committee.
Pango, I live here somewhere.
Do we agree that we need a section on negligent burning? Yes, we do.
Well, I thought that had been cited.
Yeah, we need a lesser degree of arson or negligent burning.
And do we also agree that we need a section on reckless burning? Whether these two are in the same section or separate, these things should be covered. Reckless and negligent burning, both.
I wouldn't think so.
I'm not sure there's that much of a difference to me. Negligent and reckless.
Well, there's a difference from the standpoint of there's a higher degree of culpability in recklessness.
Yeah, but I don't think the courts are going to
convict.
Yes. Yeah, there is, but I don't think the courts are going to convict anybody of a crime unless there was a high degree of negligence under the circumstances and failure to use.
Well, they will if we define negligence, and won't they? I mean, if negligence is defined in a certain way for the purpose of the criminal statutes.
Well, I assume what Bruce means more particularly is court and jury.
Yeah. The prosecutor isn't going to prosecute me for letting the fire get away if I used pretty good judgment and didn't have some degree of restlessness about it. I said, oh, hell, I don't give a damn, I didn't go very far, I ought to be convicted. But
that would be a situation where you didn't use every reasonable effort to control it.
Yeah.
And that covers the reckless burning, doesn't it? I mean, you're driving down the road, you throw out a cigarette on your
that, that's a thought. These other two, one and two, are permitting the escape. They're not dealing with the origin of the fire. The reckless origin of the fire. Section three, it does deal with the origin of the fire.
Well, so does sub two of section
three. Well, sub two could deal with
starting a fire.
Accidentally starting a fire or just starting a fire. It doesn't say whichever one we decide, but that doesn't, the origin of that is not what's wrong. It's the failure to use every reasonable effort to control under section two, isn't that right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But reckless burning is the origin of it. That is another kind. Section three would be throwing your cigarette in Greenfield.
See, section three had originally started out when you're talking about recklessly damaging the property of another. And you have two subsections, intentionally starting a fire or causing an explosion, or permitting fire to escape from land in his custody or control. There was much objection to using intentionally along with recklessly. So intentionally was deleted. And in fact, the section was just amended to say if he recklessly damages property of another by fire or explosion. And then the second subsection was then transferred, because it was more of a negligence type conduct, into this new section two, which covers negligence. It was then combined with 16407073.
When I went over this maybe last time, when I was a kid, some of my buddies broke into the county shed, county equipment shed, stole a bunch of dynamite, went out and blew up a bridge on a county road. It's kind of like the film stuff, but how did that be covered under reckless burning here?
By fire or explosion.
If we eliminated that, it would be covered under the negligence section.
Under our second degree.
No, didn't place anybody in damage.
That's right.
Didn't place anybody in danger.
Didn't know when they lighted the fuse.
Well, we're talking about the difference too between intentional damage and reckless damage.
Well, I guess we need to cover intentional damage where there isn't a bodily injury involved or a danger of bodily injury. Don't we? It isn't here.
Personal property is not covered.
No.
By itself. Intentionally damaging personal property by fire is not covered under this draft. Unless some of these aggravating factors come in. And it wasn't anticipated that it would be.
I think you come back with John. I think you're going to have to take this section stand on its own. I think so, because I still think of all the sections we're going to have in the next section, this is going to be one or two that are going to cause the most comment, draw the most attention.
Or is industrial, sir. Eagle Eye.
This is a pretty, as far as people are concerned, why burning something up is a pretty heinous thing. And as far as property interests are concerned, it's even worse.
Well, if the cattlemen are going to watch this, the law enforcement people are going to watch it, the fire marshal, the forestry people,
the boat owners,
railroads.
Certainly, as far as the forest people are concerned, this puts a lot more teeth in the laws. Now, on this question of personal property, there's a note in the commentary on the Michigan draft. Their chapter on arson is chapter 28, and indicate personal property is not covered in chapter 28 unless it is a vehicle or watercraft used for overnight lodging or for the conduct of business. Burning of other personal property is one form of criminal mischief not covered in chapter 27. So, in New York, this is their draft is patterned in New York, so it's the same approach that they did not look upon the destruction by fire of personal property as arson. They limit arson to dwell there, to buildings that are which somebody's likely to be injured, or to particularly valuable property.
Well, maybe their Supreme Court has a different heritage, I suppose. Is that the correct word?
Different background. That's the traditional common law concept of arson.
Oh, sure, yeah. That's arson that originally was limited to a dwelling house. And all the changes that have been brought into the law have been statutory changes. Expanded to cover other kinds of property. Structures or any property to collect insurance for such loss, but even then, it's an affirmative defense that nobody was in danger. So, the direction of the law seems to be to get back into the kind of property that somebody's been heard or likely to be heard, or particularly cherished property, which in the state of Oregon, I felt, would certainly include our forests, or buildings, that is, those kind of structures where people are likely to be. And that the other kind of damage to property, damage to personal property, just because it was damaged by fire, should not make it arson. That could be covered. The damage to somebody's personal property by fire, that should that in itself make the man guilty of a greater or more serious crime than damage than destroying somebody's personal property by just tearing it up or beating on it with a sledgehammer or something else. It seems to me that that's not a bad approach, that the mere fact that you used fire should not make it arson in and of itself.
I've been here so long that I now believe every argument is told. You know, Bruce argued one thing, and I think he's right. And then you say something, and you're right. And you say something, and
you're always going
to be right. The guy who talks the last is the winner now.
Now, I heard some people that after hearing that would say, well, you make a good judge. That guy didn't say.
I accused him of being a frustrated lawyer, now you accuse him of being a judge.
Or a good legislator. Well, should we break it off?
Simon had something that he wanted to say.
Well, no, it has been said enough times already. That the thought that the that's expressed by the model penal code, getting away from this idea of kinds of property, seems to me like it ignores the idea, at least, that the fire is perhaps one of the most dangerous, or if not the most dangerous thing that a person can be involved in. He sets a fire. I can stand outside your house and shoot a gun at your house, and you've got a pretty good chance of ducking, or that the bullet won't penetrate. But if I saturate the outside of your house with gasoline and set it on fire, your chance of escape is pretty limited. It just seems to me like, and this I'm sure is just purely a question of personal philosophy and thinking, is that fire is perhaps the most hazardous kind of conduct, criminal or otherwise, that a person can engage in.
And, well, yeah, and I don't think that the Model Penal Code or any of these other states are trying to say that it isn't serious, particularly where people are involved. And that's the reason it's so serious, is that the danger of injury to persons is so great. But that where the danger to those persons does not exist, or is not present, or likely to be present, that should the fact standing alone that you used fire to accomplish your dirty deed, make it arson. That's all. I mean, I think that's all they're trying to say, but...
Well, I wonder if part of that is because of the hazard or the problem of classification that we've experienced here before and today, and no doubt if you can debate this for a month, you'd still have the same problems of classification. And I suppose the theory is if you dump it into some more generalized category, that you can escape some of these hazards of classification. I mean, if you dump all personal property, vandalism or wealth and destruction of personal property, whether it's by fire or any other form of damage, that makes it pretty easy. And limit arson then to the kind of property that is likely to be occupied by people. That makes it fairly easy classification. But does that necessarily answer, really answer?
Well, I'm not sure it answers it. I think that it's an argument, but...
Well, here, we're talking about negligent burning and reckless burning, and that, but then you lift a little bit of that, and you put it under, and you included it, as a lesser included defense under the arson statute, then you lift part of that and you put it into another section. That's where I think your argument's in error. If you just used 4 and 5 as arson and didn't include these two sections in as lesser included offenses, then I think you'd be, your argument would be pretty sound. It seems to me there is a risk there.
You mean that you put these other two in what would be called arson in the third degree?
I think if you're going to, if his argument is going to follow, then you've got to take negligent burning and reckless burning out of this section, not away from arson. He says it isn't arson when you do it in such and such a way. Okay, then we better get this out of this arson section.
And put it in malicious mischief.
Put it all in there, yes.
All right, then how...
If his argument is going to work.
Then how do you tie... How do you leave any limit of 164.070 tie in with civil liability, presently attacking as a result of those? Do we take 164.070 and amend it into Chapter 477 and
Well, Chapter 477 refers to a bunch of other numbers, and it could refer. We could refer back to this one. 477 doesn't mean double damages if if you do anything under Section 0.
What Ed is saying is that we eliminate completely everything except arson in the first and second degree,
right,
and any other type of negligent burning or accidental burning or reckless burning presumably would be covered
by the section now on malicious mischief. If that were the case, we would eliminate the present section that 477 refers to, because by referring to 477 to malicious mischief, it wouldn't mean anything. So there'd be a hole in the double damage section of the civil.
Well, I think what I'm saying is that you just have to take maybe, instead of saying arson and reckless burning, you just say arson definition. Then you take negligent burning and reckless burning out of this section and put it alongside.
I don't know if you even, because the arson has traditionally been thought of as related to damaged persons or cherished property. I don't know why we can't. What's wrong with having it lesser degrees?
Well, yes, okay. Then if we are, then we better cover it all. To be consistent with Justice Stone.
Every time somebody violates the law with fire?
Yeah, then we better have it all under arson and reckless burning, don't you think? Maybe I'm
wrong. I wouldn't think that.
Maybe
you have
to
do a damn many things you can do with fire. It would cover a whole gamut of types of crime. If you can commit murder with fire, obviously you don't need to put murder under arson.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'm wrong. I want to explore that because it just struck me that maybe we are running a risk by having part of this thing under arson and not part of it under malicious mischief. But you're right, sure. Anything you can do with fire, then you can be charged, yeah.
Would it constitute an anomaly to use the word arson if we entitled this section arson, had section one, the definition, section 2, arson in the third degree, and include under that our negligent, reckless, and accidental burning. Then section 3, arson in the second degree, and section 4, arson in the first degree. Now, would there be any anomaly by calling reckless, accidental, and negligent burning arson in the third degree?
The only problem you have is the accidental. I think most people don't think of starting fire by accident as being arson. But as far as the reckless, negligent, yeah, you're starting the fire.
You toss a cigarette out the window, what is it? Accidental, or is it?
I think you're being kind of tough on the defendant. Accidentally starts a fire by tagging him as an arsonist.
Yeah.
That's why I called. In that first draft, I called that one type of conduct reckless burning to get away from the stigma of calling it arson because there wasn't any intent to damage property.
Railroad fire day, when I come in town, hot brakes, one thing another, and I can see the MP, GN, SPNS being charged with arson every once a day.
No diesel engines,
yeah, all these things.
It's one of their big fire engines, too.
Right, railroads.
That's what I mean, no diesel.
No. No chips along the river. Chips go out of the car. Sit there and dry out. Somebody hits the brakes and sparks fly out. The chips catch them.
And they could prevent that too, the chips along the track.
Yeah.
But they haven't.
They had a good fire outside of town last summer.
Yeah.
Very good.
Well, they have them in the Madras area. They have them all the time. It's almost a daily occurrence.
Yeah.
And it's. And they could put cover the chip car. They could have in the past. And
we had them. We had a bill to require them to put nets, and they said we have nets on all our chip cars.
They're doing better.
I can show you some of the bill.
They're doing better, but they didn't want the law because they didn't want to be able to, didn't want to have to do it every time.
Yeah.
And they are doing it every time.
Well,
I don't know where you're talking about whether. Unfair to the defendant to
call him an arsonist.
Call him an arsonist.
Well, it's only in the public. The publicity angle is not hurting anyone.
Well, eliminate the word arson is the head of the chapter burdens by burning.
Or, as is in the present code, fire on land.
Well, yeah, that would...
Crimes by fire.
Well, of course, that's what the chapter is called now, ORS, but...
But we're worried about Rob's airplane.
We're worried about my readers. We report this poor guy got tried to arson in the third degree, and everybody thinks he tried to burn up his mother-in-law.
But, yeah, what I mean is that we haven't limited the land.
Any property?
Well, Don, by this time you should have some good ideas on how to redraft this.
Let me ask you this, skip around. Did we agree that insofar as the definition of building is concerned, that it should be something that's customarily occupied by people, period, or that it's something that should be adapted for overnight accommodation or for the carrying on of business?
Well, I don't should be occupied. I thought we talked about last time was customarily occupied by people, or the defendant should have known it had people in it.
Now, Judge Rodman left a suggestion here. Building means any structure, vehicle, boat, or aircraft adapted for occupancy by people. Deleting phrase about the addition to its ordinary meaning and deleting. And which were limited to these, and then deleting the overnight accommodation.
Now, what does occupancy mean? Is that railroad baggage car, is that adapted for occupancy?
No.
Yeah,
postal
clerk in there sure is,
yeah.
What about a railroad stock car? A cattle car? No. Well, then why should there, assuming that they're both unoccupied, why should there be a greater degree?
Because there's a likelihood of the baggage man working in the baggage car, and there's not a likelihood of a cowboy sleeping with his cows in a stock car.
Yeah, but if it's empty, there's a likelihood of a hobo sleeping there.
That's not what it's intended to be.
He violates the law by going in there. He's
that's contributory manslaughter.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, I would think that if it was in a situation where it's commonly known that hobos do travel on this particular train, and the guy knew it or should have known it, that would be a jury question. But just because it's a train and hobos are known to travel on.
Some railroads permit it and some don't.
Yeah.
What about your car? You park it out here. Is that generally adapted for occupancy?
You bet.
Yeah, it is. But I see what you mean. Burning it when I get it parked.
Yeah. Well, all right. But if you set a car afire at night, you have no idea whether somebody's sleeping in the back seat on the floorboards or not. So you set the thing afire, and it's a very dangerous thing to do.
But I'm just trying my own mind.
I don't see why it shouldn't be included.
Well, you might be carrying on some business in there.
Might be good.
Oh, cut that out.
Well, are we agreed that overnight's a bad thing to have in there?
Well, I think we're getting away from that concept, yes. With Rodney. Statutes to get away from the old that overnight is in there because of the concept of a dwelling, where people are liable to be asleep and somebody sets the thing on fire, and we've greatly broadened from that.
But, I mean, aren't we saying though that if it's used for overnight lodging or accommodation, the reason this is bad is not so much that you're asleep in there, but because people live there. If they sleep there, that's where they live.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just not, it's not like a railroad car where somebody might be in there, but that there's a distinction there,
yeah.
Because this is where somebody's likely to live.
Expected to be there, yeah.
Now, they said in our present code, they protect the dwelling house for that reason. They also protect a public building for a separate reason, but for, it seems to me, an equally valid
reason. And then, in the third instance, they protect or never protect life, right?
Well, but the public building is first-degree arson.
Yeah, but they don't talk about converting the property which would endanger a person.
Well, of course, they define dwelling now, so. I mean, where it's has usually been occupied by any person lodging therein.
Yeah, that's right. But we have added something here by saying that doesn't make any difference what you burn. If this caused a bodily injury to somebody, it's first degree.
Or if it's the kind of building that's likely to have people in it, it's first degree. At least that's what we start out with.
Yeah.
Except that in addition to ordinary.
Well, do we agree then that we should go to occupancy rather than adaptation for lodging as a criterion for
I do.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. This goes to the definition. Now, that's